Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today our reflection is from the Reverend Fabian verse entitled, Like a Child.
In the story of Samson, a very interesting and colourful character in the Old Testament. So thank you, Joycey, for starting that story, and then Lynn will do the rest, divided the story in two, as it's quite long.
After a while, at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson went to visit his wife, bringing along a kid. He said, "I want to go into my wife's room," but her father would not allow him to go in. Her father said, "I was sure that you have rejected her, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister prettier than she? Why not take her instead?" Samson said to them, "This time, when I do mischief to the Philistines, I will be without blame." So Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took some torches, and he turned the foxes tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails. Then he had set fire to the torches. When he had set fire to the torches, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up the shocks and standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. Then the Philistines asked, "Who has done this?" And they said, "Samson, the son-in-law of Timnite, because he has taken Samson's wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father. Samson said to them, "If this is what you do, I swear I will not stop until I have taken revenge on you." He struck them down hip and thigh with great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock of Etam. Then the Philistines came up and encamped in Judah and made a raid on Lehi. The men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" They said, "We have come up to bind Samson, to do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam, and they said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us?" "What then have you done to us?" he replied. "As they did to me, so I have done to them." They said to him, "We have come down to bind you, so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines." Samson answered them, "Swear to me that you yourselves will not attack me." They said to him, "No, we will only bind you and give you into their hands. We will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock.
Thank you, Joycey. And then, Lynn, if you can continue.
When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed on him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that had caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. Then he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached down and took it, and with it killed 1,000 men. And Samson said, "With a jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." When he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and that place was called Ramah Lehi. By then he was very thirsty, and he called on the Lord, saying, "You have granted this great victory by the hand of your servant. Am I now to die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" So God split open the hollow place that is at Lehi, and the water came from it. When he drank, his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore it was named En-Kakor, which is at Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines for 20 years. Once Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute and went in to her. The Gazites were told, Samson has come here. So they encircled the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They kept quiet all night, thinking, let us wait until the light of morning, then we will kill him. But Samson lay only until midnight. Then at midnight he rose up, took hold of the doors of the city gates and the two posts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that was in front of Hebron. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, reading from the New Testament is taking from Luke's account.
A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. And you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible for man is possible for God. Peter said to him, have you left all we had? Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said to him, no one has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Leslie. There's a short paragraph before that, and I think it's important. I'll just quickly read it as he speaks about children. So people were bringing even infants that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, let the little children come to me and do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And why I read is because I realize both stories, the first and the second, start with mentioning children or a child. In our first story, we have Samson coming to visit his wife, bringing along a kid. And in the New Testament story is little children being brought to Jesus. And in a sense, that's the only commonality between those two stories, because in the first one, then it moves on into chaos and violence and very strange stories of Samson, on one hand, being filled with the Holy Spirit and accomplishing a certain task, but quite a violent task, but also just after, in a sense, being faithful and obedient to some ways, goes and go to sleep with the prostitutes in a city. So very messy and chaotic stories. In the New Testament, start with children, but it moves to a very different way of fulfilling God's desire and God's plan. Now it is about being like a child. It is only those who receive God and who are opened to God's reality like a child, that will enter it. And so the first one speaks of violence and more than just tit for tat, but escalation through revenge and all kind of violent responses. The other one, to be a member and to express the rule and the kingdom and the reality of God, we are called to be like a child who's meek, who's willing to listen and to respond. I can see in my own children, I don't need to tell them a great deal of why I said might be helpful for them when they're very little. If I give them a direction, or if I say no, or if I say yes, they usually would respond quite positively. How are we responding to God's word as a child? Are we as meek as them, full of trust and believing that when God says something, it is for our good? Children are also people that, well, they can't but just trust. If you are a baby, you don't have any other resources than to trust that whoever is looking after you will feed you, will clothe you, will protect you so that you can grow. And children are also full of simplicity. The world is much more simple to them as they see things. And so how are we receiving and seeing and observing God's reality with and through the eyes of a child? Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, that's the reality of God as a little child, cannot experience it, cannot enter it, cannot be part of it. The reading goes straight into, well, is it then about doing? You know, good teacher, what must I do to enter that reality, to inherit eternal life, to start that life that will continue forever? And he goes to, of course, the Ten Commandments: don't commit adultery, don't do murder, don't steal, and etc. And he replies, well, I've been faithful in doing that. And looking at him, I think in another account, it says he looks at him with love and compassion. And he asked him a very practical step, which was to distribute his wealth to the poor and to follow him. We hear in the story that when he heard that, he turned away very sad because he was very rich. We have this saying that those with wealth, it's difficult to enter the kingdom of God. I've always been quite, in a sense, shocked, because I am possibly one that could be said quite wealthy. I'm in a Western world where most of my life I didn't have to worry too much about where I would live, how I would be clothed, how I would be fed. And even when I didn't have a job to sustain myself, there were realities in our society that helps people to still being able to have their ends, the months, the ends of the month meet through social care and the help of the state. So what does it mean to be wealthy, and why does it say it's difficult? Well, I think again it's going back to this idea of a child and of being simple and trusting. If you go to poor countries like Africa, there is much greater faith because they know how life can turn around and how life is precarious, and they have therefore greater trust in something else than just the material that's around them. The great promise here is that what might be or seem impossible to human is possible for God. It is God's work to bring about people into God's reality. And that's true for everybody, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're healthy or we struggles with ill health. God is the person who can open our eyes to our needs, to have him in our lives. And Peter then finishes by saying, well, we have left things. We have left our homes. We have left things behind. And we have followed you. And Jesus gives that promise that those who do that, we receive much more in this life and in what is to come. And as I was reading that, I said, well, what have I left? Or what have I, where have I followed Jesus in my life? And what have I seen of God's faithfulness as I've responded in faith, in trust, in maybe simplicity to God's calling? How did God also then bless those realities? For some of you who knows me, I've left my country in a sense. I've left my home and my own family to follow a call to ministry, and I'm here in England, and God has been good and faithful in providing a place to stay, providing a church and a new family. And for many Christians, we experience the grace of God through our local church, where we are enriched by so many relationships and so many stories and so many people of faith that share their lives. So I'm very grateful that God is faithful and is true. But there is also this promise that as we continue to follow him in faith and in trust, God will be with us. And there is also much more to come in the age to come. So let's be people of gratitude. Let's learn to today to have the eyes of children, to see God at work in our world, and to listen and to follow him, for he is truly good, and he will lead us to life, life in all its fullness. Is there something else from that story that you've been...
I think mine, you've captured it all beautifully, Fabian, but children, it's the innocence, isn't it? They've not got that baggage, whereas we go on through life, there's extra bits of baggage added on. Yeah. And I feel that perhaps as you go on, you try and do things in your own strength instead of handing it over to the Lord.
Mm. Yeah, thank you for that. That's true.
The thing that struck me was that as children and as a child myself, you never listened to your parents, did you? You knew best. Or well, I was like that in the swinging 60s, I can remember. And so it's turning to God and giving yourself time to listen to what he's saying. So, it's busy lives and taking time out to actually stop and listen and not think we've got the answers. So that was just my came to me.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come to you with gratitude that through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a very different kingdom was birthed. Not a place of violence and bullying and grabbing, but a place where we are called to lay down our lives, to shine your light, to conquer violence through a peace, through even loving our enemies. And this is not something we are able to do in our own strengths, but only because of the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the promise that those who hear your voice and respond in trust and in faith are assured of your presence and your blessings. That you are truly a good shepherd, one that cares, protects, guides, and feeds, and ultimately will lead us into the fullness of life that you so desire for your creation.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.